What if the very thing we've spent centuries pursuing, comfort, is slowly killing us? Standing in a freezing Polish farmhouse, journalist Scott Carney watched six grown men hyperventilate until they nearly passed out, then march shirtless into sub-zero temperatures. He'd come to expose Wim Hof, the Iceman, who claimed to control his immune system through breathing and cold exposure, as a fraud. Instead, Carney discovered something that would upend everything he believed about human biology. We've engineered ourselves into weakness. Our climate-controlled homes, sedentary lifestyles, and relentless pursuit of ease have created an epidemic of diseases our ancestors never faced: obesity, diabetes, autoimmune disorders. These aren't illnesses of deficiency, but of excess. Bodies attacking themselves because they've forgotten how to fight anything else. The caveman who chipped flint spears had your exact biology, yet would dominate you in any physical contest. What changed wasn't our genes, it was our environment. Think about jellyfish for a moment. They drift through oceans in perpetual comfort, expending minimal energy, responding only to the most basic survival needs. Sounds appealing, doesn't it? Our nervous systems certainly think so. We're hardwired for homeostasis, that sweet spot where temperature feels just right, hunger is satisfied, and effort is unnecessary. This isn't weakness, it's evolutionary efficiency. For 200,000 years, anatomically modern humans faced relentless environmental challenges with stone tools and animal skins. Comfort was rare, precious, and temporary. Then, around 1900, everything changed. Indoor plumbing arrived, central heating, refrigeration, electric lighting. Suddenly, we could control our surroundings so completely that many of us live in perpetual spring, never too hot, never too cold, never truly hungry. We became the first species since jellyfish to almost completely bypass natural survival pressures. Our bodies weren't designed for constant comfort. Without environmental oscillations, cold stress, heat challenge, physical exertion, our systems atrophy. Muscles need resistance, cardiovascular systems need challenge, and immune systems need occasional threats to stay calibrated. Remove these pressures, and the body doesn't relax into health, it deteriorates into dysfunction. In the 18th century, Polynesian navigator Tupia could point toward his home island from anywhere in the Pacific, reading wave patterns invisible to European sailors. Australia's Gugu Yimithurr people possessed such innate directional sense that their language contained no words for left or right, only cardinal directions. These aren't superhuman abilities. They're human abilities most of us never develop. Technological advances consistently create physical regression. A 1981 Finnish study revealed outdoor laborers had significantly higher brown fat deposits resembling wild mammals, while indoor workers had minimal amounts. Former NASA scientist Ray Cronice argues we've created an eternal summer, overlit, overfed, overstimulated environments, eliminating the metabolic winter our bodies evolved to expect. The result? Widespread obesity affecting humans and our pets, the only two animals suffering chronic obesity in significant numbers. Wim Hof doesn't look like a superhuman. Born in 1959 in the Netherlands, his breakthrough came in 1979 when he impulsively jumped naked into an ice-covered Amsterdam canal. Instead of shock and pain, he felt an extraordinary rush of well-being. He developed breathing techniques mimicking instinctive gasps when hitting cold water, discovering he could extend his cold tolerance far beyond normal limits. By the time Carney met him, Hof had accumulated impressive world records: swimming under Arctic ice, running barefoot marathons through snow, climbing partway up Mount Everest in shorts. The scientific establishment was skeptical, but the data was compelling. In 2007, Hof remained submerged in ice for 72 minutes while maintaining his core temperature. At 51, he produced 5 times more heat than the average 20-year-old. The real breakthrough came when immunologists injected him with endotoxin. He experienced only a minor headache, showing unprecedented immune control. More remarkably, when they trained college students in Hof's methods and repeated the experiment, the students also suppressed inflammatory responses. This wasn't a genetic anomaly, it was a teachable skill. Most people don't realize the urge to breathe isn't triggered by lack of oxygen, it's triggered by carbon dioxide buildup. This distinction reveals what Hoff calls the wedge, the mental space where conscious control meets automatic bodily function. Your body runs countless processes without awareness: heartbeat, digestion, temperature regulation, immune responses. These are automatic because they're supposedly automatic, beyond conscious reach. But that boundary is more permeable than we thought. The training starts simply. Hyperventilate. Take 30 rapid, deep breaths. This floods your blood with oxygen while purging carbon dioxide. Then take one deep breath and hold it. That urge to breathe isn't oxygen deprivation, it's CO2 buildup. By manipulating this system, you extend breath holds far beyond normal limits. After hyperventilating, people routinely hold their breath for 3 or 4 minutes, triple their baseline. Cold exposure works similarly, inserting conscious control into automatic responses. When you plunge into cold water, every instinct screams to escape. But if you maintain calm breathing and suppress the shiver response, your body switches from burning energy through muscle movement to generating heat through increased metabolism, particularly by activating brown fat. The cold becomes not just tolerable, but invigorating. Hans Spahn wakes most nights with muscle cramps so severe he can only find relief through rage and cursing. Parkinson's disease has stolen his body's fluidity, leaving him rigid and struggling. Yet each morning, 30 minutes of deep breathing, followed by a cold shower, restores function. By 2015, this practice gave him 11.5 hours of good time daily, with reduced medication, up from less than 7 hours in 2011. Hans Emmink's severe Crohn's disease had filled his digestive tract with hundreds of ulcers. When prescribed steroids failed, he discovered Hoff's method. 15 months later, a colonoscopy revealed all ulcers had vanished. Casper van der Muyen broke his ulna after being kicked by a horse and refused pain medication, using conscious breathing instead. His surgical bruising disappeared overnight, a healing speed that shocked his nurses. Hank von den Berg developed crippling rheumatoid arthritis at 24. After beginning daily ice baths in a local lake, his pain vanished and his swollen finger shrank dramatically. His morning ritual eventually attracted 60 regular participants, a community bound by shared suffering and healing. At Mount Kilimanjaro's base, Carney faced the ultimate test. The peak claims 8 lives yearly, typically requiring 5 to 8 days of acclimatization. Hoff's plan? Summit in 30 hours with 29 people, most inexperienced climbers. Army doctor John Castellani predicted 60-75% would develop acute mountain sickness. Starting at 4:30 a.m., they climbed through dense jungle. At Horumbo Huts, 12,100 feet, other hikers recognized them as the crazy people attempting Kilimanjaro shirtless. The next morning, Carney remained shirtless despite freezing temperatures, focusing on generating internal heat, imagining a fire-breathing dragon in his gut. At the saddle between peaks, wind gusts created a wind chill of negative 30 degrees. After scrambling up Jamaica Rocks through snowfall and extreme wind, they reached Gilman's Point in just 28 hours and 6 minutes, a record-breaking ascent. Despite dire predictions, 22 of 29 members reached the summit without altitude sickness. The achievement proved our bodies are far more adaptable than our comfortable lives suggest. 6 months after meeting Wim Hof, Carney's transformation was measurable. Weight dropped from 210 to 178 pounds. His body burned fat 7 hours longer during workouts. Chronic canker sores vanished, and cold showers became invigorating rituals. When Maastricht University researchers exposed 8 diabetic men to 57F rooms for 6 hours daily over 10 days, their bodies cleared blood sugar 43% more efficiently, nearly reversing diabetes symptoms through controlled cold exposure alone. The deeper shift was psychological. Our nervous systems evolved to read weather patterns and adapt to seasonal shifts, but artificial environments severed this connection. The solution isn't abandoning modern life, it's inserting strategic discomfort. Cold showers force cardiovascular workouts, increasing mitochondrial formation. Breath holding teaches that voluntary and involuntary boundaries are permeable. Occasional fasting reminds your metabolism how to access stored energy. The language of shivering, the wisdom of hunger, the clarity beyond comfort, these aren't punishments, but reclamations. Modern comfort hasn't erased your body's extraordinary capabilities, it's merely put them to sleep. Your ancestors survived ice ages with stone tools. You can handle a cold shower.